until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And Elaine Carbines, it's good to see you in the studio on this Melbourne Cup day. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Mitchell?
Very good indeed. And every single guest has to nominate a horse for the Melbourne Cup. And I just wonder if you might go for Red Cardo again, or maybe Trip to Paris speaks to you.
I think you know that I like French names. And I have a soft spot for Red Cardo, having come second the last few times in the Cup. But I do love the name Trip to Paris. That
yes.
sort of conjures up lots of good memories for me when I've been in Paris, and hopefully will again in the future. So I think Trip to Paris with potentially Red Cardo. So it'd be interesting if they came first and second.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? And you'd be very rich.
Yeah. I said, I never have a bet.
That's
so
right.
I'm not a punter.
Well, yesterday I said I liked the idea of the Geelong Casino, and I think I was the only one to support it.
Oh,
everyone
my
else
God.
Said no. No
Big
way.
Thumbs down to that
yes.
one, Mitchell.
I just think it would put Geelong on the map. I mean, I look at Singapore and all that sort of thing, and, you know, yes, there are issues you'd have to work through with the community, but I suppose that you've obviously got a clear opinion on that.
Well, I think Geelong's already on the map, Mitchell. I don't think we need a casino to amplify our image. We've got so many good things that endorse us to the world, including Deakin University and Barwon Health and the great people that live in this region, the beautiful Great Ocean Road. I don't think we need a casino. I think we've got already got a point of difference.
All right, fair enough then. Now, what about the upcoming annual general meeting of the G21?
Yes, we're always, every year obviously, proud to have our annual general meeting of the members of G21. Of course, that includes our five councils who are our foundation members, but we also have close to 200 member organisations from across the G21 region that range from big industries, small businesses and media outlets and community organisations are members of G21, and it's great to be able to showcase each year the work of G21, what we've achieved over the last year. So our AGM is coming up on Thursday week, and we have James Flintoft, who's the acting CEO of Regional Development Victoria, as our guest speaker. So it'll be an opportunity to reflect on the last year and the success of the region and the funding that we've been able to attract to the region, particularly through the state government change of government last year when we managed to secure funding against 8 of our 15 priority projects. So it's a great opportunity to look back on the year and also to recognise some of the people that have contributed really beyond what was expected to G21 over the last year.
Mm. Now, I think it actually has been a very big year in the region and quite a few changes for the better.
Absolutely. I think it's been a great year for the region. I think there's a sense of real optimism around. I mean, obviously, there's been the downside, the closure of the coal mine at Anglesey, the Alcoa coal mine, loss of 80 jobs, and we know that next year there'll be the closure of the production at Ford, which will mean the loss of many hundreds of jobs, and we've got to keep an eye on that and not downplay that to any extent. But there's a lot of optimism in the region. I think we're going from strength to strength, and my view is that we need to make sure that people that have lost their jobs are not forgotten, and we actually find a new future for them. And I know that through organisations such as the Workforce Development Centre at the Gordon, that's a one-stop shop for people who have been made redundant, to help them look at their options for the future. So I'm very optimistic about 2016.
Now, yesterday we were talking a fair bit about this $1.5 billion that's been freed up. Previously, the federal government had said, no, that has to be spent on the East-West Link. And I remember them even threatening that it was going to go to Sydney or Brisbane to spend on their infrastructure. But now it looks like they're going to be more collaborative, was I think the word we used yesterday with the state government.
It's very good news. I commend new Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull for this decision. It was very short-sighted of the previous leadership of the federal government to really corral the funding for the East-West link only, not to be amenable for it to be used for other projects. Clearly, the East-West link was not supported by the Victorian people at the last election. And interestingly, in The Age today, there's an article exploring a report that's been an internal report from the Liberal Party about why they lost the state election, and they're putting the blame squarely at the feet of their real support for the East-West link. And so Malcolm Turnbull has sensibly said, well, Victoria can keep those funds and can be used for alternative projects. G21 would be very keen to see the funding allocated towards the proposal from Transurban for the Western Distributor. It's a critical issue for our region. I want listeners to understand that the approach to Melbourne is so important, the road link to Melbourne, to the future of our region, not just for the people that commute to Melbourne every day, and there's about 12,000 of those, but also for the productivity of our region and the ability of our product to access the port and Melbourne Airport. It's a very important link. So it's not good enough that we still have that battle car park congestion every day from basically Werribee onwards as we approach the Westgate Bridge. So I'm really keen to see the state government come to a quick decision in relation to solving that really intractable problem of the congestion on the Westgate.
Does the G21 believe that the Western Distributor would be more effective at achieving that aim than the East-West link would, particularly if you're coming from the perspective of a Geelong resident?
Well, we were supportive of the western section of the East-West link. We felt it was important to start that project. Obviously, it's been a bit of a political football. We have been briefed by Transurban about the Western Distributor project. We think it's a very effective solution, which is less disruptive to the amenity of those inner suburbs of Melbourne, and we believe it could be well and truly in place by early 2020. So it's, we're encouraging the government, obviously, to make sure the process is appropriate, but we want them to really have a very close look at this now, because it's the only viable solution on the table at the moment. The East-West link is off the table. There's no point discussing that anymore.
Yeah.
We need to focus on what is a viable solution, and this seems to offer that solution.
Yeah, I did actually read through that Liberal report, which talked about why, and had a quick flick through last night, about why they lost government and campaigning ideas. Were there any big takeaways for you having seen that report?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. I've only read what was in The Age, so I haven't read the actual report. I'm not as well briefed as you, Mitchell. obviously they were talking about the campaigns that were run by the AMBOs and the Fireys as well,
yep,
as being very effective, and they were incredibly effective. People support, the public supports, people that work in the ambulance service. We're so reliant on them, and I think that was a very effective campaign, as was the Fireys campaign. And I know the union movement really stepped up to support the Labor Party. They also talked about the effective local campaigning that the Labor Party undertook across the state, and that, they were recommending that the Liberal Party implement a similar type of grassroots campaign. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the future, very localised campaigns and volunteers recruited to spread the message.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see. And really, what wins it for government is having good policies. And, it's no use going to an election with unpopular policies or very few policies. So all parties, including the Federal Labor Party, need to really come to grip with the policy agenda that they're going to present to the Australian people at the next election, as the Liberal Party will need to do in Victoria.
And I suppose that shift towards a grassroots style of campaign as opposed to the central idea really plays into your hands, because you're saying, well, what do the parties have to offer the Geelong region rather than the state as a whole?
That's exactly right. And we put a lot of effort and emphasis in briefing candidates and parties and the political leadership of the parties on what the aspirations of our regional community are, so that they're well and truly clear that if they support these projects, they're actually going to get a lot of local support. They know that if they back in those projects that G21 espouses, they're going to be certainties for support. They're not contentious projects. They're projects that have been really well thought through, that have the support of the councils, the broader support of the community, and they usually know they're backing a winner. We only have to look at the state election where the ALP backed 8 of our projects out of 15, and the Liberal Party did as well. So it is a useful tool, and certainly political parties turn to us well ahead of elections for advice. And of course, over the next year, Mitchell, our focus will be on the federal campaign, and we've already been in Canberra twice this year talking to not only politicians but departmental heads about the agenda that we want to see supported in our region.
Now, looking at the Polwarth and South West Coast by-elections over the weekend, we know that Richard Reardon has won Polwarth, and looking at those results for South West Coast, I think the Liberals are pretty much home there.
Obviously not being declared, but Richard Reardon was the clear winner even on Saturday night. And so G21 congratulates Mr. Reardon. I've never met Mr. Reardon. I'm looking forward to hopefully having a chance to meet him before the end of the year. I signed off on a letter to him yesterday congratulating him on being the new member for Polwarth. We have a very close relationship with all of our state and federal parliamentary representatives in the region, and I look forward to establishing a good relationship with Mr. Reardon. Not as close to, obviously, the South West Coast result, but it looks like Roma Britnell has won there. Tight contest, though, some strong polling for independent candidates and the National Party candidate down there as well.
And a lot of big issues in Polwarth, obviously one of them being that Warrnambool line and the number of services.
Yes, that's right. I was really pleased to see that amongst the top issues being espoused by the community in Polwarth and also in South West Coast about the train services. I mean, you've heard me say many times that, excuse me, three trains a day from Warrnambool to Geelong is just not good enough. Mm. It means that we're a very car-dependent region. It doesn't give our residents the opportunity to use public transport, and we know they want to use them. I think it's a real pity that the state Labor Party didn't commit to this, expanding the services as part of their election campaign. However, the public transport minister, Jacinta Allen, has been undertaking a network review to which G21 has submitted in relation to the need to increase train services from Warrnambool through to Geelong, because it gives people many more options then to use public transport, not just to come to Geelong, but also to go on to Melbourne.
And also, just on top of the issue of frequency, the age of the rolling stock does seem to come up a fair bit. Apparently they're using some of the oldest rolling stock between here and Warrnambool.
That's right. It is a critical issue. I mean, we're really not proud of the fact that we're actually the worst train service in the state, right, at all. And we take every opportunity to talk about that. I'm hoping that state Labor look at this very seriously now, coming out of the network review, and commit to increasing those services. I don't think it's good enough to wait to the next state election. That's 3 years away.
Yeah. And the Central Geelong revitalisation, which of course was a G21 priority project, but that is starting to take shape in a limited capacity, but mainly with that green spine down Mallop Street, which I drove through last night. Looks great.
Yeah, I've only seen it from the Yarra Street intersection, so I haven't actually walked down Mallet Street, but I may take the opportunity today to go down and have a look, because we've got all the sidewalk sales on, so it's great for all the retailers around Geelong to have that today. But it looks really interesting, the photos that I've seen on Twitter and Facebook. People look like they're availing themselves of the deck chairs and the little pop-up parks. I'm not quite sure what they do with them at night time. Do they pack them away, or do they stay in place?
I've got a feeling they packed them away, because I was driving through there on sunset and I think the deck chairs had been removed.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I agree, yeah. But no, it looks fantastic. And I saw Michelle Heagney, she was sitting down there after, she said, was a lot of work with consultation,
yes,
all that, and just enjoying the fruits of their labour.
Yeah, I think it looks good. It looks smart and funky, and it's great to see some greenery. It is exciting to see our city be reinvented. And there's lots of little things that are happening all the way around the city, which eventually will make a significant difference to how people see the city of Geelong.
And they call this a pop-up concept. So this is just, I suppose, a preview as to what's then going to happen in the future.
I presume so. It's a pop-up novel idea, and people seem to like it. It's getting a lot of attention and support.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Elaine, thank you so much for joining us once again. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you on the first Tuesday in December.
And then we'll be talking about Christmas, Mitchell, won't we?
Yeah, we will. And that's always an exciting time of year. So good on you.
Good to see you, Mitchell.
Thanks for joining us. Elaine Carbine's there, the CEO of the G21.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.